the General Failure Podcast is now being calibrated for your listening pleasure.
Welcome to episode 275 of the General Failure Podcast for the week of April 6th, 2021. This week, we play Board James, It's Time to Sell Our Soul, and Don't You Say Nothing Bad About Mom movie. TJ, and I've got with me Dom.
Ka-chow!
Dom?
With the brand new ka-chow sound effect.
Oh, the new ka-chow, okay. It got cut out on Discord, because Discord.
Discord hates ka-chow.
Ka-chow! So, it's just us two still. CJ's still on paternity leave, with new baby and such. So, just us two. So we'll start off with, like we usually are, with what are you playing? Dom, you got something.
Oh boy, do I.
Oh yeah, you do.
All right, so I downloaded Black Desert for the Xbox Series X, whatever, for the Xbox, because it is currently on Game Pass, and I wanted to play around with their character creator, because I know that their character creator is super in-depth. Like to the point where you can move each individual facial feature to your heart's content. It's pretty great.
Yeah, you can.
So that aspect of it is super detailed and really funny. And I made like just this disaster of a human being. Like it was disgusting that she looked like. And
I
she
don't
like
know what it looked like a elephant ran into a brick wall.
Yeah, like her it's face like was just face. Melted.
Yep.
And her voice, she had like this awful, like squeaky, like anime girl voice. It was the worst thing ever. And like, I spent like 25 minutes doing that because it was so funny.
Yeah.
And then I started the game, and that's where the funny ended, and just the bad began. Like. I've heard really, really good things about this game.
Yeah. It's fun.
What was fun?
On PC.
I can't even imagine on PC it was fun.
It was. I mean, I've played this game, so the difference is that Black Desert Online and Black Desert are the same exact game. Just one is for the consoles and one's for the PC. This is a stereotypical MMO. There's shit all over the screen, buttons and stuff like that everywhere, menus everywhere, especially for an MMO that's been out for years. They kind of evolve drastically through those years. And to port it to consoles was probably a bet. Well, porting isn't a good word.
Putting on. It wasn't a port.
Drag and dropping.
Yeah. But like, even for a PC MMO, I have never seen so many menus.
Yep.
The amount of menus that you had to go through to do simple things, like calling the Black Spirit or whatever it was called.
Yep.
You had to go through like three menus just to call that thing, which should have been just one button.
On PC, it's just one button.
Oh.
Yeah, a lot of the things you had to do to go into menus were just buttons, but because there's so many buttons on a keyboard compared to on a controller, you can only do so much, so they probably just slammed all that stuff into the menus for the console release.
Yeah, and like, aside from, like, the menus were a disaster and an absolute nightmare, but outside of the menu situation, I was having zero fun with the game itself. I felt like it just, like, it controlled really, really, like, it controlled like an MMO. Like,
yeah.
Just that, like, weird, kind of sloppy MMO style control. I had zero idea what I was doing. Like, none of the quests made sense.
The game has a steep learning curve and a Final Fantasy-like story.
Yeah, like, and the problem was, like, the quests, you couldn't even see what you had to do because, like, on the TV, they're just like, you get half the quest name and the rest is cut off. And you have to go through like four menus just to see the quest. And it still doesn't give you any idea of what the hell you're supposed to do. And then it's just like, go kill these wolves. Now go here. Now go kill more wolves. Now go back here. Now go kill more wolves. And I was just like, come on. Like everything about it, I did not like.
Yeah.
All
now
of
to
it.
Tell you, to give you a heads up, this game released in Korea, because it's originally a Korean game, in 2015. So this game has been out a
6 years.
While.
Yeah.
And usually games start out like, you know, nice and niche, but then as they add more stuff, more menus get added, more abilities, more, just more. And this game definitely has a feeling of they just didn't know what to do with the new stuff, so they just slapped it somewhere.
Yeah.
And it's just there. This is a stereotypical MMO. Like, this reads MMORPG, like World of Warcraft and yep. all those other games.
But I feel like World of Warcraft, if you put that on console, it would be exponentially easier to play than this was.
Would it?
I it's think just, so.
Without those buttons, it is really difficult. Without the extra buttons on a keyboard, I don't know why they ported. I guess because people wanted to play this game, because the character creator is known, and it's just, I had fun with it.
I don't know. To me, it was just like, you know those like joke memes that they make where like every video game's UI is laid over itself? So there's like the stars from Mario 64 and like the coin collecting amount from like the Lego games, and they have like the alt thing from Overwatch in the middle, and they have like a radar from GTA, like all every fucking thing you could possibly think of just like slapped on the screen to make like the most overwhelming UI ever. That's what this felt like. There was like a bottom bar that meant nothing. There was like quests on the right, a map on the top, arrows on the screen to show you where to go. Then there was names popping up all over the place, and a chat on the bottom left, and something else on the bottom right. Like every inch of screen was overlaid with something that was distracting and did nothing to enhance the experience of the game.
No, not in the slightest. And you don't, and it doesn't really handhold you onto how to learn anything. It's definitely a game that you just have to look up shit and watch videos or just experience.
And then it also does the opposite, where like when I had a quest, it would just have a line where to go, and I could just press the left trigger in or the left stick, and the character would just run to the objective without any intervention from me. So, well, it was like simultaneously it, like, you have no idea what to do, but also the game's just going to play itself for you if you just press the button.
Well, that's more for the keyboard players, where, you know, after a while of, because this game has a lot of traveling where it doesn't really have a lot of fast travel. So after a while of just holding shift down and forward, it just gets annoying. So they implemented that to kind of fix that annoyance. I like it because it means I can put that in and then like look something up or get something to drink while my guy's running.
I did that during like Red Dead 2. You can like set a course and do the cinematic camera and just hold A and your horse will run that path for you, and that's cool. Yeah. But I don't know, like right from the beginning of the game, that's all I was doing, just press left stick and it'll bring you to where you have to go, talk to somebody, and then do the same objective in seven different places, and like, you know, just with weird squeaks of the character and like hundreds of other people just running around spamming attacks. I was like, oh Jesus, it's like just a complete mess. It reminds me of the like the vanilla WoW days, where the starting area where you had to go kill 10 boars was just like mobbed with people over and over again.
Yeah, it definitely takes getting used to. You have to like this type of game to like it to begin with. And it is, learning curve doesn't even describe trying to learn how this game goes. And I got to level like 60 something, and I couldn't tell you what the fuck its story was.
Yeah.
I'm 60 levels in. No fucking idea what the story is. And half the menus I didn't understand either, but I enjoyed the combat to a degree. And it's really just like, go here, kill these things, bring back this stuff. Go here, kill these things, bring back this stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I guess in reality, what the lesson that we learned is like, just under no circumstances should you ever play this on console.
Yeah, I would 100% agree. If you like MMORPGs, give it a shot on PC. I would never recommend something like this on console.
Like, you can go check out my Twitch stream. We played for like almost an hour, and then I was like, well, I'm going to go to Dark Souls so I can actually fucking like physically play a game without like being sick and confused.
I don't know. Dark Souls is another, is like the opposite end of the spectrum.
Dark Souls is a very playable game. You might not get far because it's insanely hard. but it is fully playable.
I don't know if dodging for 4 hours is really playing a game.
I don't know. I barely have to dodge. You just play. Just get good.
Get good.
Just get good.
So I would recommend trying it on PC if you like MMOs, especially the older style ones are more this speed. This is kind of the original MMORPG style, Star Wars and World of Warcraft and stuff like that.
Guild Wars and Guild Perfect Wars, World. Yep. Perfect World was the fucking shit. That game is great.
This is kind of that area of those games. It's not like any other ones, I guess. They are also coming out with the next game in the series called Crimson Desert.
Yeah, and that's the reason that I wanted to play this, because I saw the trailer for Crimson Desert, and I was like, this looks so awesome. Then once I found out that it started off as a prequel to Black Desert, I was like, oh, okay, I'll give Black Desert a try to see like how it plays and everything. And I was just like, oh, fuck, if Crimson Desert plays like this, I don't want this game anymore, no matter how cool it looks.
From the trailer, it definitely looks like it takes a lot from Black Desert, which makes sense. This company's only made this game.
Yeah, it's the only game they have. But it looks like they took like the combat style from it, but not necessarily everything else. It appears that the game is a story game rather than an MMO, and it's like a single-player adventure, which is a lot more what I'm looking for. And you know that single player adventure versus an MMO will have a lot less clutter and stuff like that. So it looks more like an action adventure type of game, which I'll be way happier with, because the combat itself wasn't much of an issue other than the fact that I had no idea what I was doing with it. But like, I can't say that the combat was bad. It was just like, everything else surrounding it sucked, so it felt like the combat was bad to me. But
it was typical MMORPG combat,
right? And I feel like they're going to tweak that a little bit for Crimson Desert to make it, because the way that it looks more like a modern combat, like action adventure type of style, like whether it's like kind of like a mixture of Dark Souls and like the new God of War mixed with like that kind of action combat, which I'll be totally fine with, and I'd rather have that in a story-driven game rather than an MMO.
And I mean, the game has a lot to offer. Even besides combat, you can buy houses, decorate them with stuff, you can fish, you can farm, you can do trading, you can tame mounts in the wild and then breed mounts to different levels and stuff like that and sell them on. And then there's a player marketplace where you can buy and sell stuff. The game has a lot to offer. It's just too much.
Yeah.
And I don't, even at level 60, I don't feel like I hit like a quarter of the amount of stuff that's in that game.
Yep.
Which I feel like is really weird. But I had fun while playing it. I don't know if I would play it. I might play it again at some point, but
I mean, you have Game Pass, so it's free. So it's like, you know, mine as well.
Well, it's for Xbox. Is it on PC as well?
I assumed it was, but, you know, I actually didn't check.
I'll play it on the PC version and it's not available. For PC.
Yeah, like Outriders is on Game Pass on console. So is Quantum Break, but they're not available on Game Pass for PC.
Yeah. And any of the sporting games too aren't available. Nope.
Oh yeah. It's not
available for PC.
Oh wait.
I mean, I have it on Steam, so
yeah.
I can't really say anything, but FIFA, lot of games.
FIFA is available on PC.
Ooh.
Yep. It looks like all the FIFA games are available for you. But NHL's not.
I only see Football Manager 2021 Xbox Edition. So I don't see those games.
I don't know.
So there's, again, you should probably get Game Pass if you're listening to this.
Yeah.
It's just worth it with the amount of games you can get. But Black
Desert,
I
feel like at this point we just like pump up Game Pass every week, but like, every week there's a reason to. I don't remember if I mentioned it last week, but I had to cancel my MLB The Show pre-order because it's coming out of Game Pass. Like,
that was big. That hit like, the internet, what the fuck? And blew people away.
Yeah. It's just, it's insane to me.
Yeah, I would go check out, if you're into MMOs and like the old style more than the new, go check out Black Desert. Don't, for console, whatever you do, don't fucking waste your time. Not worth it.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it. You had a bad experience. But even just making characters, it's crazy what people can come up with.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that I didn't pay for it, it made it insanely funny to create this bullshit character, which you can go see on my... Check out our Twitch channel. I streamed it, and you can see the abomination I fucking created.
Yep. And you can upload that, and people can download it. And
oh, good.
You can also download other people's.
I deleted the game already. Never mind.
That was quick. All right, never coming back to that game again.
I'm not wasting hard drive space on that shit.
It is a big game. It's like a 100 gig game, but I mean, it's also a 6-year-old game. So
yeah,
I could see 100 gigs being taken up from an MMO that size. But
yeah, me too.
Yes, go check it out, not on consoles. So, moving on to some nerd news. I've got some stuff. Let's see. So, quickly, we'll do the Diablo 2 alpha was announced.
Mm-hmm.
They are doing it this weekend. So, if you're listening to this right now, it just started Friday 9th at 7 a.m. And it'll last until Monday, April 12th at 10 a.m. And that's Pacific time. So if you're listening to this, you might be a little too late, but go check to see if you can sign up for the technical alpha. It is a single player only for a PC. It is the HD remaster of Diablo 2. You can play the, Barbarian, Amazon, Sorceress classes. They're saying they will be able to choose 3 out of the 7 classes and play through the entirety of the first 2 acts, which was most
That's
of
a
what
lot.
People
wow.
played anyway. Yeah. There is also no level cap.
Mm-hmm. Sweet. So I assume that your progress carries over like most alphas at this point.
I mean, this is an alpha. If it was a beta, I could see, but an alpha, I don't know. Especially since if there's a lot to be done, they don't want to carry all that old data over.
Yeah.
So, and if you don't know, Diablo 2 Resurrected is the HD remaster with 4K resolution, 3D rendering, remaster of all the sounds and stuff. So
they recreated every single cinematic from the ground up, but like still kept the original style of all the other cinematics. So they'll basically look and sound exactly the same, but like crazy good, like they would today. It's just like, it's really good that they're doing this because Diablo 4 is several years away, I think.
Mm. Yeah, probably.
There was
we
a point,
a release date yet. So.
Yeah. Diablo 3 took so long that there was actually a point where I made a joke to a coworker. I was like, Diablo 4 will come out before Diablo 3 does because it just took so long.
It did take forever.
Like the game came out in like 2010, I think. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I don't even know when it was announced. Probably like 2003. Like it was forever. And the Diablo 4 is going to be the same thing. It's going to take super long. So it's good that they're going to do this to kind of tide people over a little bit because their other attempt was Diablo Immortal, and that didn't even make it past E3 without being a complete fucking bomb.
Yeah, that was something else altogether. This will also be one of 2 alphas before the release date. This is for the single player. The next one will be for multiplayer server tests.
Isn't one of them Korea specific?
Not that I know of.
I thought the one that was happening this weekend was only in Korea.
No, that's for us.
Oh,
that's
cool.
For anyone that signs up.
Interesting.
That's why you can sign up. Yeah.
Well, that's
so
good.
Anyone can sign up to these. Also, apparently you can import your save file from Diablo 2, the original, into this game.
I don't know why you would do that, though.
I have no idea either.
Like, I guess if you had a maxed out character and you just want to like run through the game and destroy everybody, but like, I don't know, play the game, you know?
The game will take place through the monastery to the Maiden of Anguish and Dariel. as well as deserts of Lut Gullin and face Duriel, the Lord of Pain. So
I never got very far in Diablo 2.
You motherfucker.
It was hard and I was bad.
That was the game that we played like LAN party with like three or four people and did in the weekend.
Yeah, I never did that. I thought about I can go on my Blizzard account and download it. I thought about doing it, but I was just like, I'm just going to die.
Yep.
Like, what's the point? I'm just going to die.
Also, I would just wait until the reset or restart.
Yeah.
It sucks that you can only play as three of the classes out of the seven, but I mean, I'll take anything at this point.
I feel like those three classes are probably the ones that are either most often used or might need the most work. So they'll probably, or the opposite, might be the most finished. So they might be looking for character feedback, or they might be giving you the character that are actually finished at this point. I don't know which way they're going with it.
Yeah, I don't know, because the Barbarian, the Amazon, and the Sorceress.
Yeah, I feel like they're probably the most finished, because Barbarian is like the standard class, so it's probably the easiest to develop.
I mean, they're just doing an HD remake, so it's not like they're building from the ground up.
Yeah.
So
I hope that I get into it, because I really want to try it out.
I agree. I mean, I'm signing up really late. I signed up today this podcast.
I signed up the day that the game was announced. Yeah. And then I just did it again, and it didn't seem to have a problem with me doing it twice. So I don't know what that means, but it probably isn't good.
So, yeah, if you're listening to this, see if you can sign up still, even though it just started as you're listening to this today. And see if you can. If not, go check out. People will probably be streaming it, I guess. I don't know if there's going to be restrictions on that or not, but
I haven't heard any restrictions.
I would go check it out, because this is going to be awesome. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm excited. So go check that out. I also have some more nerd news. So Sony Japan Studios apparently is restructuring their entire studio. And through this restructuring, they are either laying off or people are quitting. Apparently, they're reorganizing it around the team Asobi, which did Astro's Playroom, which is like the game that came with the PlayStation, which everyone like fell in love with.
Yeah.
Apparently, Sony is restructuring all their studios around that.
Why?
I don't know why. Pretty much all their first party development is being sent to the studio or scaled back completely. Pretty much the only other departments that are going to be left over from the old studios are localization, external production, and IP management.
So
everything else will be either stripped away or built around Team Asobi.
So it seems weird, because like, wouldn't you think that they would do the opposite instead of like pumping everything into Team Asobi or Asobi, fold them into Japan Studio, which like does everything else?
Yeah. So
instead, they're closing Japan Studio.
Yeah, and then just going full tilt because people love the Astro Playroom so much, and they're going more towards the VR stuff. So this and people being laid off is crazy, but like some of these people, there's Gavin Moore, who worked on Demon's Souls, the director for Demon's Souls, announced he was leaving at 24 years with the company.
That's insane.
Yep. 24 years at Sony and 18 of those in Japan. Others are... executive producers worked on Gravity Rush, Bloodborne, and Shadow of the Colossus. Some people worked on The Last Guardian. There is a lot of people leaving this studio or being laid off from the studio because of this restructuring.
That's really not good, because like,
no,
this is like Sony's thing. This is what they bring to the market, is this Japan studio that makes all these great games.
And apparently they're more going towards the VR route.
Now,
so
the one thing I will say is at least they are trying something new, whereas normally they just wait until everybody else does something and then they try it. Like,
yeah,
like literally everything else that they've done has been like a couple years of making fun of other people for doing it and then doing it themselves. Like between the PlayStation Move and the really all
the vibrator.
Yeah. Like they have that. There's like just a couple other things that they've done where it's like, you're really late to the game. And like you spent time being like, that's not what people want. And now you're doing it. I'm at least happy that they're going to try something before everybody else does. Whether or not it's going to work out is to be seen. I think it might, because PSVR so far is actually really good. And it's, you know, nice to be able to have your VR hooked up to your PS4 and I guess now your PS5 for the processing power. So, you know, that's at least promising, but
there was also a lot of hints of internally, a lot of the developers wanted to keep making more low budget games for the Japanese market.
Mm-hmm.
And, the company was like, we need to go big or go home. So
everyone went home
Everyone went home apparently. So they're looking more towards, you know, the international market. So
yeah,
after the restructuring, a lot of developers left, most likely got laid off. Some quit, but it sucks when you have this amount of developers just leaving.
Yeah.
Especially if they have 24 years in the company.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe something good will come out of it. I'm guessing a lot of these developers will be picked up by other studios.
Oh, yeah. Or they'll just start their own studio.
Or that. Or retire.
Yeah, I mean, 24 years, it's a pretty good run.
Yeah, it's a pretty decent run. So I would check out the articles or any of the news you can find on it. It's definitely interesting to see Sony restructure like this all of a sudden, especially their main studio. So I'm worried to see what comes because I don't know anything about the Playground game, but apparently it got good ratings and came with the PS5.
Yeah, but it's also not really a great look at the moment because a lot of people are criticizing the PS5 so far for kind of having no games at this point.
Yeah.
You could say
that about both consoles.
I agree, but at least with the Xbox, you can play the previous ones. And having good exclusive games was like the thing that sells PlayStations. So like,
yeah,
the fact that you buying a PlayStation, there's nothing to play right now is not a good look. And the fact that that is coming now, this is coming 6 months after the launch of the console with no games, is all these people are quitting because you're shutting down your main studio is like, uh-oh, you know,
yeah,
it could spell awry. Something really bad, but you know, in the end, they'll probably be fine.
This game, apparently it was made just to teach people like the new stuff on the DualSense controllers.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's like a tech demo.
Yeah, pretty much. But apparently it was so well done that people were like overjoyed. It's kind of like a Wii Sports kind of thing, but for the PS5. It's very funky. But
imagine like Wii Sports came out and Nintendo was like, all right, like we're firing the Zelda team. We're closing shop up over there. Everybody, Wii Sports team is doing everything from now on.
Yeah.
Like I don't think anyone would be happy with that.
Yeah, it's definitely a funky move. I'm very curious in what direction they go at this point, but we'll see. So let's take a quick break to line our pockets with cash. We'll be right back. And we're back. Let's start off with some, or keep going with some geek on, geek off. Dom, you got some stuff.
Yeah. All right. So by now, a lot of people have seen the Snyder Cut of Justice League. I haven't. I watched about 10 minutes of it, and I was like, I get the gist. I don't got to waste the next 3 hours or 50 minutes of my life.
I get the gist.
Yeah. I'll eventually watch it, but, you know, whenever I feel like it.
That makes one of us.
The Justice League that Joss Whedon took over from Zack Snyder was not good. It was you know, that's the best way to put it. It wasn't good. It was not terrible, I don't think. It just wasn't that good. But there was big fallout from it. And Ray Fisher, who plays Cyborg, kind of had a public feud with DC and Warner Brothers about his time on the movie, because apparently he dealt with a lot of racist behavior, and Joss Whedon was really shitty to him. And it just seems that over the past, I'd say, couple months, it seems like more and more stories of Joss Whedon's shitty behavior on set of everything is coming to light, to the point where, Sarah Michelle Gellar wouldn't be in a room with him anymore when they were making Buffy, because she couldn't stand him so much. He wasn't allowed alone in a room with Michelle Trachtenberg because of whatever was going on between them. They had to have other people in the room with them at all times. And I think because she was a teenager when she was filming that, I think her parents requested or demanded that he no longer be in a room alone with her. And now it's just coming out more and more that shitty things are happening. And now Gal Gadot is saying that she threatened her, he threatened her career because she criticized some of the script of Justice League. There was a few lines that she didn't like because they were probably shitty, I assume. Because let me tell you, the script in that was not very good. It was good. Really corny and awkward. But that's what I don't understand. Like, what made Avengers so good and this so bad? Like, it's like two entirely different Joss Whedons directed and wrote these movies. I don't get it.
Yeah.
She didn't like the rewrites, and she told him and told some executives at Warner Brothers. And the executives obviously did nothing about it. They probably just blew her off completely.
I mean, against who are you going to go with? Gal Gadot or Joss Whedon?
Right. But like, you don't have to treat her like shit, you know.
Those parties are definitely at fault. I mean, it's a clusterfuck right now.
And he, like, after so she complained to him about some of the lines in the movie that she didn't like, and then he forced her to record them anyway and do everything by threatening her career, and then was bragging apparently about how he fought with her and won. This is an anonymous source that said that, and he told her that he's the writer. She's going to shut up and say the lines, or he'll make her look incredibly stupid in the movie. So essentially it was either shut up and say what I write, what I tell you to do, or I'm going to ruin your character in this movie. And obviously, you know, ruin her career in the process, because, you know, if you fuck up Wonder Woman in Justice League, like, your career is probably not going very far. And that's similar to what happened with Ray Fisher and Cyborg, is that he is a no-name actor, really. And Cyborg is his big break, but he had massive problems on set and he brought it to light. And he even said, like, this is probably going to ruin my career, but if the right people get held accountable for it, it's worth it. And He fought with Joss Whedon because Joss Whedon was pushing Cyborg to use Booyah as a catchphrase, and he thought that was stupid, didn't want to do it, and Joss Whedon made him do it anyway.
Yeah.
And Ray Fisher brought it.
That's from the cartoon.
Yeah. The Teen Titans cartoon, right?
The Teen Titans cartoon.
That's exactly it. It's weird in this sense, because... Yeah. DC is so set on doing everything overly gritty and zero humor that when they do humor, it's really awkward, because it's like, it's so out of place. Ray Fisher went to the chairman of DC Films, and that guy told him that this is one of the most expensive movies that Warner Brothers has ever made. He said, what if the CEO of AT&T has a son or daughter, and that son or daughter wants Cyborg to say Booyah and we don't have a take of that? I could lose my job. That's his response.
Yep.
Was it the CEO might have a kid who wants Cyborg to say Booyah, so he'll get fired for that. What a fucking joke.
Well, they're fucking so, they're so prissy up top.
Like, I know.
It's just so bad. And then these actors are just pulled through the loop. Because all these executives are just like trying to one up each other or some shit.
Yep.
It's bad all over.
Yeah, and then once Ray Fisher agreed to record the Booyah lines, Joss Whedon was apparently taunting him about it. Like, I don't know if he was like, make, you know, talking shit to him because he won the argument. Like, it's just very petty and childish.
Yeah.
He
seems
did.
Like he got wrapped up in the being you know, famous and all, and now is thinks he's untouchable kind of thing.
Yep. Apparently, Ray Fisher also went to Geoff Johns about it, and Geoff Johns just said, "We can't make Joss mad. Just do whatever he says." And yeah. Geoff Johns' publicist is saying that he is denying that he ever said that, but like,
he
it
probably
seems weird.
Said that, knowing that Joss Whedon definitely had enough strings to pull that he could get Geoff Johns fired easily,
yeah.
since DC yep. Comics is not doing well anyway.
Exactly.
I could
and
see him
like,
saying that.
It's just like,
it's like just saying, like, you know, the petulant child's like throwing a tantrum. Just let him cry it out. He'll just deal with it, and you know.
Exactly.
It's just so petty, man.
Yeah, and Ray Fisher went to Joss Whedon to talk about how, like, you know, they removed all of Cyborg's backstory in the movie, all of it. Cyborg yeah. was like barely existent. He just like showed up. They had a bunch of backstory filmed, but Joss Whedon took it all out. And when Ray Fisher told him like that changes how the character is in the movie. Like, it changes his entire perception. Joss Whedon said, "It feels like I'm taking notes right now, and I don't like taking notes from anybody, not even Robert Downey Jr." Like, what
Damn.
A child.
Yeah, he is a child. Like, this is my toy. You can't have it.
Yeah.
Or you can only play with it the way I want you to.
Yeah. And then guess what? It fucking sucked. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Maybe
you
should. Maybe you
sucked.
Should have listened to your actors, and maybe you should take some notes, and your movie wouldn't have sucked so much. But like,
and
yeah, I don't know. It's just like the once like Joss Whedon is the greatest director because like he does all this good stuff and like. You know, he would never let us down. It was like, no, he does suck, just like everybody else sucks.
Yeah, especially in this business. They are just, mm-hmm. like, terrible.
But, like, at the same time, you know, that's his problem. Zack Snyder has his own fucking problems. Like, where maybe he's not a petulant child on set to his mm-hmm. actors, but, like, he makes four-hour movies that, you know, for a theater release, you can't release a 4-hour movie. You're not Tarantino. You can't do that. You know?
Yeah, this isn't an art piece. This is a action movie.
Yeah, a 3-hour movie, 3 hours has to be earned. Like
yeah.
the way that Marvel did. Like, they weren't starting off with 3-hour movies. They were starting off with, like, you know, just around 2 hours, just like a normal movie, mm-hmm. action movie. You get a little bit longer. You know, the big first Avengers movie is like, oh my God, this is like almost 2.5 hours long. Like, this is a huge movie. And then by the end of it, Endgame and Infinity War, those were 3-hour, like, epic tales because it was a huge thing. You're starting off Justice League with 4 hours. And then the bigger problem with that is that you have to cut that down. Even if you cut it down to 2.5 or 3 hours, you're making a movie that when you cut it down, doesn't make any sense. It has to be the yeah. 4 hours to make sense. That's an issue because you're not a good storyteller if you can only tell a story in 4 hours.
Yeah. And I mean, there are exceptions. Like Titanic was 3 hours, I think, 3.5
yeah.
hours, something like that.
Titanic but, is three I mean, hours. Gladiator is like 2 hours and 45
yeah.
minutes. The Departed is 2 hours and 45 minutes. But again, Scorsese earned that.
James Cameron got lucky, but it came out really well.
But I James Cameron also kind of earned it between with Terminator and everything. Because Terminator 2 is really long. But yeah, I mean, 3 hours is pushing it. But like, there's that point where like, because of the type of movie that Titanic is, where it's like still fiction, it's like a historical nonfiction fiction piece, you can kind of get away with it, which is again why Gladiator was. Pearl Harbor was the same way, like 3 hours
yeah.
or a little over 3 hours. Like those types, Saving Private Ryan is huge. Like those types of big movies like that, they're events, you can usually get away with it. But it's
a comic book movie, you cannot.
And not only that, but a comic book movie from a studio that has a long, long recorded history of making terrible comic book movies.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know,
And again, you're also making it an hour longer than all those other people that earned it. Like,
yeah,
you know, it took him 3 hours to tell Watchmen, and that was tough to make it through all 3 hours of Watchmen. Even though I do like it and I think it's a good movie, it's hard. It's hard to get through.
The changes they made from the original source material made it tough.
Yeah.
To go through. But yep. I know why they did, but it just still sucks.
Yeah. It's just like, there's never, this is the weird thing. Every time we talk about DC movies and Warner Brothers and everything, like, there's never a good story to tell.
No.
It's like,
it is a nightmare.
It's always going wrong for them. And it's not a coincidence anymore. Like, no. You know, 90, you're not running into bad luck.
99% of the problem is Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
They cannot let go. And that's their big issue. They can't let people just do their job. And
it
that's
seems
where
like,
they run into a big issue.
Yeah, it seems like at first they were trying to treat it as like, oh, we've had some bad luck with these movies. Like, we're far past bad luck now. This is bad management. You're a bad studio for letting this happen.
It's not timing when you release these movies or anything. It's fucking, these movies sucked.
Yeah, like that's it. Like, whatever you, and that's the thing is like, there are DC movies that don't suck, but they almost, most of them still kind of suck. Even when you're like, that's one of the better ones, you could still be like, but it wasn't that great. Like, Shazam
compared to the other side of the coin of the Marvel movies, it barely meets the bottom tiered ones of the Marvel movies.
Exactly.
Wonder Woman probably reaches like the mid tier for the Marvel movies, but still, that's pretty fucking low when it's your best movie you have.
Right. Like, like the bad Marvel movies, you could still be like, it was bad, but it wasn't like horrible. Like, I could watch it and I sat through it and didn't.
Most of them.
Most people would think that about Iron Man 2. I do think Iron Man 3 is real bad.
It is just, it's a clusterfuck. That's a whole different old story.
Yeah. But like, yeah, Wonder Woman, the first one, is probably your best DCEU movie. Wonder Woman 1984 was okay. It was a mess. Yeah. It was horribly paced, but it was okay. It was watchable. And then other than that, your only actual good movie is Shazam.
Yeah. Which is a comedy-esque Marvel movie.
Yeah. Joker was also good, but like I feel like I kind of have to separate
count?
That. Yeah. It doesn't count.
It's not in like the main DCEU.
Yeah. It's not even like connected.
Yeah.
It just it's a period piece. Exactly. But like, yeah, every other DC movie has been like
Man of Steel, Justice League, Batman.
Yeah, all the Batmans. Like, I'm sorry, but all of the Christian Bale Batmans are not that good. Batman Begins sucks.
Yeah, that's not great. It's not great.
It
the
sucks.
The second one's good.
Second one's good, but it's not great. It was
some
great when it came
it
out.
Classic.
It
I
was
think because
it was great when it came out.
Because of Heath Ledger.
Yes, it was
it's
a great movie when it came out.
If
you watch
it, hold up.
It's still okay. If you watch it now, it's still fine, but there's a lot of shit where you're just like, that was stupid. Why is this? Why is that? Why does Christopher Nolan film some of the movie in a 16:9 aspect ratio and some of the movie in an IMAX aspect ratio? So when I watch it, it keeps switching back and forth between widescreen and not as widescreen.
Well, also Christopher Nolan is like the last director to be still working with film. So he's got a whole deck of other problems.
If you were going to film the movie for IMAX, then film it for IMAX. I have no problem with that. If you were going to film it for, you know, with the larger aspect ratio, whatever it is, the 265:1, do that. Don't mix it. You don't mix IMAX and panoramic. It just doesn't make any sense. But
I think it's more Nolan is like more of an artist.
Yeah.
He's trying to be an artist with comic book movies, and that's not.
It doesn't work.
You should do.
Artists with his other stuff, like Inception, that works because, like, that is art. I still haven't seen Tenet, but I really want to. But I also don't want to because of how much of a douchebag he is about stuff. Like, you know,
Nolan, how terrible he is on set.
not just on set, but like the sound thing where people were like, you can't fucking hear anything. And he's like, well, this movie isn't made to be, you know, watched on a TV at home. It's made to be watched with an expensive sound system. And it was just like, well, fuck you, Christopher Nolan. Like,
yeah.
We're like, stuck in a pandemic at home.
Yeah.
We can't go see this with an expensive sound system. Like, mix your goddamn movie better, idiot.
Nolan's just known for his artsy fartsy stuff. So
yeah.
And also, so, like, the third Batman movie was terrible.
I still say that I don't think it's as bad as everyone else thinks it is. But
I
like,
think it's as bad as I think everyone. I think it's worse than what people think it is.
I can fully admit, like, it's just not good. Like,
it's a clusterfuck. They took a bunch of storylines from Batman, jammed them all together, and then made no sense of it.
Yeah, there's almost
and then Batman
nothing.
Kills all the people.
See, that's what I don't like, because everyone complained about that, and I said the same thing to every single person, where they're like, Batman killed somebody in this movie, and I was like, he kills somebody in every movie. No, he doesn't.
Oh, yeah.
Go back and watch every movie. He kills someone fucking every movie. All of them, he kills somebody.
It's blatant in this one.
It's blatant.
To the others.
Go watch Batman Returns. He straps a dude with a bomb and kicks him in a manhole. He fucking blows people up. He burns a dude with the Batmobile. Batman's a stone cold killer, and there's nothing you can say otherwise.
The thing is, for Batfleck, I did not have a problem with him doing it because it was the, you know, Dark Knight version.
I did not have a problem with Ben Affleck at all. I just had
a
problem with the movie.
I think Batfleck was good.
Yep. The movie was bad. And that's the thing. You had Ben Affleck, who was a good Batman, I thought. Mm-hmm. And you had Henry Cavill, who was a great Superman, I think.
Yeah.
That movie sucked ass. I hated Batman versus Superman.
Because the story is terrible. They tried
garbage.
To take the Dark Knight storyline and give it like a twist of some kind, and then threw fucking what's his name as Lex Luthor into the
God.
Mix.
Oh, which was, God, I forgot about that.
That's what made that movie terrible, which was, what's his face?
Jesse Eisenberg.
Fuck. Jesse Eisenberg. He made that movie unwatchable because he's such a terrible Lex Luthor.
Without him, it was a bad movie. With him, it was unwatchable.
Yeah, I would 100% that, because it's just, he's just so bad. And they tried to go for the campy Superman with like some harshness to it, or the campy Lex Luthor with some harshness to it, and it just did not come out
well. He was far closer to the Riddler than he was to anything else.
Yeah. I don't understand the direction they were going with that at all. I mean, the whole movie, I don't get the direction. The cool scene we got out of it was Batman fighting all those dudes. That was by far the best scene in the whole fucking movie.
The scene with the Batmobile was awesome, and I was like, this I was like, this movie might get good. That was it. The end fight scene I thought was pretty cool, but wasn't that good. Like, some of the Batman and Superman fighting stuff was cool, and like Batman had that the grenade launcher filled with the kryptonite grenades, and he was just like walking towards Superman, just like unloading and pumping the grenades at him. I was like, this is pretty cool, but like, you get like these like 2 minute spurts of cool shit just like sandwiched between like 25 minutes of absolute garbage.
Oh, Martha.
Yeah, Martha.
Fuck that movie. Was that bullshit?
But like, that's the worst part, is the movie sucked and then that happened. And I was like, you just took it
harder.
Yeah, you just took it from like, this movie sucks, to like, I can't believe you made this. Like, and then, you know, Justice League is just so, so mediocre.
Blah.
It's so mediocre.
For me, it's all Ezra Miller. I don't like him as Flash in the slightest.
Apparently,
I've said it
before. Apparently he's super good in Zack Snyder's. Joss Whedon ruined him.
I think they just add more scenes to show off he's just not like
a total vagine.
Yeah, just not an Asperger's kid.
Yeah.
And he's got some story, but I'm still not, I don't like the way he runs. I don't like any of the, I like everything about the Flash I don't like in the slightest.
Yeah.
And it's just, I'm not looking forward to the Flash movie. I don't see a lot of movies anyway, but I'm definitely not going to see it.
Who is directing that?
I don't know.
Like, are they just going to give the Zack Snyder universe, are they just going to give it back to him at this point? Or
there's a lot of things online right now that are pushing for the Snyderverse to be redone?
I think what people don't understand is because the Snyderverse, like what the general direction he was taking and has been leaked, and it's not good. It's terrible. So like, you really want to give him this back? Because like, you're just going to complain. You're just going to complain in a few years when the movies start coming out and you're just like, oh, this movie's terrible. Yeah, no shit. You asked for it to be terrible.
Yeah, it's just, it's, well, so we got, oh God. So the Flash movie apparently is him going back in time and stopping his mother's murder, which fucks up the timeline, of course.
Wait a second. I feel like I've seen that three or four or six times in the fucking show.
It's Flashpoint. I mean, Flashpoint is a big thing. And it's a thing that's come up constantly, and it's the way to like smooth over fuck ups in the timeline is just to have Flash go back in time and break
Except
shit.
It always creates more fuck ups.
Yeah, it always creates more bullshit. And then they casted Supergirl in that movie as well.
Yeah, she's a girl from Young and the Restless.
Yeah, it's real weird. And then there's Keaton coming back to play Batman, but that's still up for debate.
He's cast, so he's doing it to some degree, just whether he will be...
He's cast, but they haven't said that if he's going to be... Well, he's said that he's not sure if he's going to be in the movie or not because of the COVID shit. He's still, I think he's worried about getting it while on set.
Yeah, I mean, he is like 70 years old.
Yeah, he's pretty old, so I think he's just like, I'm trying to find out who fucking wrote this thing. Who's directing this goddamn thing?
Oh, the guy who's directing it is Andy Muschietti. He did the It movies.
The what?
It. The new It movies.
Oh, the It movies. Oh, that's fucking weird.
And he's also
doing an Attack on Titan movie? What the fuck?
He's also the producer of Lock and Key on Netflix, which if you haven't seen it, is fucking great. Mm-hmm. So I hope that they do another season of it. It's funny because
a lot of horror stuff, which is weird.
Yep. So Lock and Key has been out for a long time, or so I thought, until I realized that it came out in the beginning of 2020, and I was just like, Jesus Christ, it came out February of 2020, and I was just like, that's how long this year has been, that like, it's been so long since I've seen it, and it's just over a year, because I'm just like, damn, are they ever making a season two? Like, it's been several years since this came out, and I was like, oh, it's been 1 year. But Lock and Key is excellent on Netflix. Definitely worth watching.
I just don't know about any of this stuff. I mean, back to the original thing with Joss Whedon, which is where we came off. I mean, the more stuff that comes out, maybe something will be done. Doubtful.
No, doubtful.
Since he's such a big name.
But at the same time, I also think he's kind of done. Like, who's gonna hire him now? You know, who's gonna allow him?
I mean, he still makes successful stuff, so he's still gonna be out there.
He hasn't directed a movie since Age of Ultron, 6 years ago. That's his last movie.
But he's worked on a lot of TV show stuff.
He's working on this show called The Nevers.
Apparently departed before release of the first season. Maybe he's having difficulty, and hopefully
he might.
Hopefully something's done.
Yeah, he's an executive producer on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but that, you know, kind of means nothing. He's writing the Nevers TV show, or at least some of it. He's directing a few episodes, but like, he's not really doing much anymore. So
yeah,
people might just be like, he's retiring.
He's probably gonna retire.
Yeah, people are probably seeing that he's just not worth working with.
Yeah. Which at that point, if the actors don't want to work with him, then it might have companies go, well, then we're not gonna hire this dude, would be good.
You know, you're more as a movie studio you know, kind of in the business of making marketable stars rather than marketable directors, because like the actors are going to be what people come to see the movie for the most part. You know, most people aren't going to be there. There's a few directors here and there that you're like, okay, this guy is making this movie, I'm definitely going to see it.
But they make a certain type of movie.
Yeah, they make a certain type of movie, and they commonly cast the same goddamn people for a reason. Yep. There's a reason that Martin Scorsese puts Robert De Niro in damn near every one of his movies. There's a reason that Samuel Jackson is in every single one of Quentin Tarantino's movies, like because people are going to go see him for that reason.
Yeah.
You know, who's going to be that person for Joss Whedon since he keeps pissing everybody off?
Yeah, and the more news that comes out, the worse and worse it gets. He just seems like he's a nightmare to work with, and people aren't going to work with him, and hopefully the companies that back his projects pull out or don't hire him for things, because there's enough accusations where it's just not like, you know, people trying to, you know, just cancel culture him. This is an actual problem.
And it's also spanning decades and spanning every projects. Piece of work. Like, you know, it's not just like, oh, Justice League was a shit show. It was like back in the 90s, Buffy was a shit show. And then I'm sure there's something from the Firefly cast for those 8 episodes. Yep. And like, you've heard some weird stuff about him from Avengers time. And now it's come to it's like everything he works on is just like, okay, Joss Whedon's a douchebag.
Yeah. And hopefully things turn around. Hopefully the actors don't get screwed. I know
that's the thing.
Actor for Cyborg is probably going to get screwed and blacklisted. Yeah,
I honestly think, unfortunately, he's probably done.
He was good. I thought he was good too.
I was excited for Cyborg because I was like, this is different and new. And like, Cyborg is a character who has enough name recognition. Yeah, you don't get him a lot, but he's at least known enough where you could be like, okay, I'd go see Cyborg. But you know what?
Way more than Flash.
Exactly.
And I like Flash as a character, and I don't. And I'd rather have Cyborg in there. I thought he was really good. So, hopefully something comes out of this. Hopefully Joss Whedon gets burned, and hopefully the actors don't get screwed out of parts.
Yeah,
I know some of the other actors are fine. You know, Henry Cavill's gonna be fine. Gal Gadot's gonna be fine, but it's more the lower guys, Ezra Miller and I forget his name. Ray Fisher. I'm really hoping he doesn't get screwed, and hopefully he gets...
He's cast in an upcoming TV show called Women of the Movement. It's just been announced so far. I don't think they've done anything, but it's supposed to come out this year. But yeah, like, Cyborg was going to be his big break.
Because of
Joss Whedon writing bad script.
Just being a shitty person in general.
Yeah.
So, I hope, go look at the Justice League monstrosity of a movie if you want to.
Yeah.
And hopefully Joss Whedon doesn't direct anything anymore. So that's all for us this week. Thank you for listening. To find our social media links, previous episodes, or leave us a voice message, please visit us at genfailcast.com. If you like what you've heard, please follow us on Spotify or leave a review on iTunes. LOL. Everybody say bye.
LOL.